Good evening. Would you please begin with me this evening by turning in your Old Testament to the book of 1 Samuel. We'll be in 22 to start with. I'm going to look at a number of places this evening in 1 and 2 Samuel, and also in 1 Chronicles and 1 Kings. So be prepared to go for a ride as we take a look at a man by the name of Abiathar. I wonder if you recognize the name Abiathar, if you just instantly know who that is. Probably not. He would not have his name on probably a list of the most well-known characters of Scripture. But sure enough, his name appears 28 times in the Old Testament. Now, it's always during the time of David, both before and during his reign, and then in the very, 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 very beginning of the reign of Solomon. Jesus also mentioned Abiathar. The one New Testament reference to him is in Mark chapter 2, verse 26. But that really is not a reference about Abiathar. It's about an event that occurred during the time of David, with which Abiathar was associated. I believe that learning about Bible characters, and especially those who are what we might call the lesser known characters of the Bible, is helpful to us. This is not just an exercise for the sake of stirring the gray matter. It helps us to see that God has worked out his purpose. And in doing so, he has used people who did some really good things and who did some not so good things. Some people who we might say were righteous and others who were wicked, and some were a mixture of those, and some who had both strengths and weaknesses. And really, when we stop to think about it, who among us would say that we are all strength, or that we are all weakness, for that matter? We're a mixture of both. And so it helps us, I believe, to learn about these people. These are not just storybook characters. These are not mythological fairy tale people. They are real people who lived in real times, though those times were ancient from our standpoint. They lived in places that would be foreign to you and to me, but they are very, very real nevertheless. When we're through tonight, I think you will agree with me that Abiathar was, for the most part, a good and faithful man. He served as a priest under the law of Moses. He was a friend and supporter of David before and during the time that David reigned as king, up until the closing days of David's reign. And then Abiathar made a tragic blunder that permanently ended his priesthood and nearly cost him his life. So I would invite you to go with me on a walk through the life of this man, Abiathar. The first place we're going to read of him is in 1 Samuel chapter 22, and I'll be reading verse 20 through verse 23, the last four verses of that chapter. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 20. Now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priests. So David said to Abiathar, "I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for the one who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe.'" So there's the first time that we see Abiathar mentioned. Now, you may remember the time when David approached Abiathar's father, who was serving as the high priest, and asked him for bread for himself and for those who were with him. And Abiathar complied with that and gave him some bread to eat. Now, David in that occasion was not just entirely forthcoming with Abiathar's father about what he was doing. And that backfired. Saul, you know, was away from God. Saul had fallen long ago from being a good king. He was paranoid. He was determined that David was after him, and so therefore he was after David and made attempt after attempt on David's life. And because King Saul thought that Abiathar's father was in league with David and was helping him and was against Saul, he slaughtered Abiathar's entire family, all of the priests in that family. And so now he's kind of fessing up and saying, you know, it's my fault that this happened. But Abiathar, you stay with me, and I will protect you. I'll make sure that nothing bad happens to you. And so they had then, Abiathar and David had a pleasant and profitable and good relationship for many years. And in fact, that continued through the majority of the reign of King David. And so now I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel, and we're going to look there in chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8, and we will see verse number 17. Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests, and Seraiah was the scribe. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over both the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and that would be David's bodyguard. And David's sons were chief ministers. And so what we're looking at here is when David became the king of Israel. Now, you may have noticed there the name Ahitub. That was the name of Abiathar's father, but evidently Abiathar had a son by that name as well, because his father's dead. But it would seem that he had a son by that name who was also serving as a priest. But we see them serving together during the time of David's early reign. And this is along, you may be more familiar with the name Zadok the priest. He seems to have been Abiathar's uncle, an older man, and is always mentioned first when the two are mentioned together. It's possible that both of them served as high priest at one time or another, and it's certain that Abiathar was a priest, and he appears at this moment to be serving honorably. So that's the second reference that we have to this man, Abiathar. And so far, so good. So now, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Turn a few pages over to the 15th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and we're going to see that Abiathar helped to carry the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. As David was solidifying his kingdom and bringing things together, one of the things that he wanted to do was to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, rather than having it in an outlying area. And undoubtedly, you remember when he tried to do that, and what did they bring it on? An ox cart. How did that work out? Not well. Poor fella reaches up and touches that, and drops dead. And David realizes now, and we're going to see this in 1 Chronicles, rather, chapter 15, verse 11. David called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priest. There they are mentioned together again, and you see Zadok mentioned first, but Abiathar's there. And for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Jemiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. And he said to them, "You are the heads of your father's houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order." And he's referring there, of course, to when the poor Levite brother reached up and touched the ark, trying to steady it to keep it from toppling over. And for touching the ark, he paid with his life. And David understands now that, okay, that's because we didn't consult God about the proper order. What was the proper order? Carry it on their shoulders with the staves that came through the rings that were attached to the side of the Ark of the Covenant. That way nobody would ever touch the Ark itself. That was a death penalty offense under the law of Moses. And so this was a time when Abiathar had the privilege of assisting in carrying the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And this was an important job. This was not just a little thing that didn't matter one way or the other. The Ark would be stationed in the most holy place of the tabernacle. And later on, when Solomon built the temple, then it would be transferred into the most holy place in the temple. What was so special about the Ark of the Covenant? The special presence of God dwelt there. It said between the cherubim. You remember the cherubs were like this, and their wings touched. And beneath that area was the special presence of God. Now, we know that God is everywhere. But at that time, his special presence dwelt with the Ark of the Covenant. And that is why, among other things, that only the high priest could go into the most holy place and approach there on the Day of Atonement. Nobody else could do that. And even the high priest went only on that one day during the year. And he had some very, very specific instructions on how to do that. The Ark of the Covenant was a very, very important piece of furniture. Now, we also see that Abiathar served David faithfully during the time of David's son Absalom's rebellion. Remember Absalom, who tried to usurp the throne of his father? And so we look back now to 2 Samuel, and we're going to go into chapter 15 and read verses 27 through 29. So if you would turn with me back to 2 Samuel, chapter 15, beginning in the 27th verse. And we'll read on through verse 29. The king also said to Zadok the priest, "Are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, you and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz your son and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me." Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. So what we see is that as David was fleeing the city, fleeing from Absalom, these two priests, Zadok and Abiathar, were carrying the Ark of the Covenant out of the city to take it with David. David instructs them, "No, you take it back into the city, and there, I want you to serve as messengers. You keep me informed what Absalom's doing." And of course, they did that. And we'll see, if we move ahead a couple of chapters, we'll see that they indeed did that by means of their sons who are mentioned in this passage. It would have looked pretty bad if these two men, these two priests themselves had gone out to inform David. It would have been pretty obvious that something was up. So they sent their sons to do that in their place. And that helped David to know what Absalom was up to. It would help David's commanders to know how they could prepare. And so they were being very helpful to David in doing this. Now we know what happened to Absalom, don't we? He got his head stuck in a tree and got a whole bunch of spears stuck in him as a result of that. In spite of David's plea, "Don't harm Absalom," what does old Joab, the commander of the army, do? He says, "This man's got to die. He is bad news, and we're going to kill him." And he did that. So now it's time for David to come back into Jerusalem after the defeat of Absalom, after the rebellion doesn't work out for him. And so we are going to go now to 2 Samuel chapter 19, 2 Samuel the 19th chapter, and we're going to begin in verse 11. So David sent to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests, there they are again in that order, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house? Since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house. You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not the commander of the army before me continually, in the place of Joab." So he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word to the king, "Return, you and all your servants." And then in verse 15, the king returned and came to the Jordan. And as Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king, to escort him across the Jordan. All right, so David is coming back into the city. And these two priests, including Abiathar, help to bring back the king. Do you wonder why David needed, why did he have to convince the people of Judah, of all things, to take him back as king? David's kingdom at this time is not as solid as we might like for it to be. What has just happened? Most of the kingdom has said, sure, we're fine with Absalom. Now, Absalom's dead, so now what are we going to do? Well, do we really want David to come back? So David has to do some politic in here. Do you see what he does? He says to this man, Amasa, you're going to be my new army commander. What had Amasa just done? He had been Absalom's army commander. David, what on earth are you doing? He's playing politics. He is practicing what we would call the politics of appeasement. Let's appease everybody. Let's make everybody happy. And that way we'll unite the kingdom. Well, it works out all right for him in this case. But this man Amasa is going to be the new commander of the army. But what we want to see is that Abiathar is helping to bring David back into the city. So once again, we see him faithfully serving King David. Now the fun begins. We're going to go to 1 Kings. I want you to look with me in the first chapter of 1 Kings, verses 5, 6, and 7. Again, the first chapter of 1 Kings, verses 5, 6, and 7. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." All right, so Adonijah is one of David's sons. And he says, "I am going to be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not rebuked him at any time, saying, "Why have you done so?" He was also very good looking. His mother had borne him after Absalom. Then he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with, get this, Abiathar, the priest, and they followed and helped Adonijah. That breaks my heart. Abiathar, why did you do that? After all of these years of faithful service, after seeing what happened when Absalom rebelled, why are you doing this? I don't know. I can't answer that. David was old at this time. David was very near death. It's questionable whether he could even serve, function truly as king, whether he had the ability to be effective as king. Adonijah was David's eldest surviving son, because Absalom's dead. Absalom had been older, but he's dead now. Adonijah, as the oldest surviving son, may have thought to himself, well, I am the rightful heir to the throne. My father is old, so I'm going to be king right now. Remember the little lion cub on the Lion King? Oh, I just can't wait to be king. Adonijah can't wait to be king. He wants to be king right now. He's not going to wait, he thinks, until his father is dead. Got news for you, son. You're not going to be king anyway. There's this fellow by the name of Solomon that's next in line and has nothing to do with him being the oldest. It has to do with God's will. But anyway, Adonijah may have thought he was the rightful heir to the throne. But David had already sworn, as we'll see in verses 13 and 17 of this chapter, that Solomon was the one who would reign after him. So whether Adonijah was aware of this, I do not know. If he was, he is in open rebellion against God and against Solomon and against David. Be that as it may, Zadok and others remained faithful and took the necessary steps to proclaim Solomon as king and kind of pulled the rug out from under Adonijah, the rebel son. But here is Abiathar, and he's on the wrong side of this, and I'm so very, very sorry that that is the case. After David's death, Solomon spared Adonijah's life. I think maybe he had considered killing him for his disloyalty, but he spared Adonijah's life in view of the fact that Adonijah had carried the ark on those occasions and that he had indeed suffered affliction with David. He had been a good and loyal servant for a time. And so he said, basically, I'm going to let you live, but your priesthood is done. You are done. You will be priest no more. And that, by the way, was in keeping with what God had said to Eli, the high priest, quite a while back, that the line of priests that came from him would come to an end. And that's where where Abiathar was. So Solomon did indeed spare his life, but he stripped him of his priesthood and basically banished him, said, you're toast, you're out of here. Don't show up in my court again. So what do we learn from this? Even after a lifetime of faithfulness, it's possible to fall. And we look at this man Abiathar and what a good man he was and the fact that he faithfully served King David for all of those years, and he carried the Ark of the Covenant and served effectively as a priest. And it's like, what are you thinking? Why did you do this? And again, I don't know the answer to that. But he caved in after going through one rebellion and seeing the result of it. He caved into another rebellion. And I wish he hadn't done that. Going straight can have far-reaching consequences. And it did for Abiathar, and it did for those who were descended from him. That branch of Aaron's descendants ended when Abiathar died. So the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians ring true here. Let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Abiathar stood, and then he fell. Beware. When we get to thinking, oh, nothing can happen to me, let the one who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, Joey has announced the song that we will sing to encourage your response. Let's stand together, please.